The Awkwardly Awesome Adventures of Super Pizza, Chapter 7. We sat down on a bench to review the clues. Iris pulled out her notepad. So we know that the robot shoots ice lasers from what? Its hands? And its stomach, I asked. Or chest, I guess. Ice bombs from the chest, she said. Oh, plus it had an electric tail of some kind, I pointed out. And it was holding a grocery list, but how? It has a shrink ray in one hand. How is it holding magnets, I asked. Could it be a magnet? Her eyes lit up. I think I know what it might be, but let's keep going. What other details do we have? We know that it has a robotic-sounding voice, I pointed out. You think it was the same voice you heard in the background of your dad's phone call? Maybe, I said. But none of this is adding up. Why would the robot be asking for a bottle? And why is it after you? Iris asked. Are we even sure that the robot was specifically going after me? I asked her. It chased you several blocks, trust me. It was after you, she said. Well, it could have been after you. I mean, you saw it at the restaurant, right? It's possible, she said, jotting down a few more notes in her notepad. She shook her head. But there's something else that bothers me about this. The robot couldn't have kidnapped your dad and attacked us at the same time. Well, maybe it did. I mean, the robot was gone when my dad called on the phone. I'm thinking it attacked the city and then it went back to where it was hiding my dad. And if we can find the robot, we can find where it's hidden my dad. I shook my head. None of this was making any sense to me. Why would it carry around a giant grocery list? I continued. I mean, who sends out a robot to go hunting for groceries? I have a theory, but I can't share it out in the open. I'll tell you later when we're somewhere more private, she said. I stood up from the bench, pulled out my phone, and searched to see if any new attacks had been reported. Sure enough, the robot had busted through a wall of glass and ransacked a grocery store. I guess it was looking for groceries after all. We walked down to the laundromat, and it was entirely empty because, let's be honest, nobody does laundry when your city is being attacked by a giant robot. We both stood there and stared at the news report. Every time someone tries to snap a picture, the robot steams it up, a reporter complained. I studied the photo on the TV screen. I don't see any antenna. Iris shook her head. Then she pulled out her phone and enlarged the edge of a photo. Look at this. There's a handle on the side. Are you sure that's a handle? I asked. Positive, she answered. So you think someone is controlling the robot from the inside? That would make sense. It would be like acting as if it were a vehicle, she pointed out. I mean, think about it. A villain could hide right in the middle of that robot and never get caught. But there's no window, I pointed out. It doesn't need a window, just a tiny camera. I mean, someone has to control it. Maybe, I said. I think you need to open it up to the idea that your dad created this robot and is controlling it from the inside, she said. No. I shook my head. He's not like that. But what if he is? She asked. That would explain why you couldn't see him. And that would explain the machine sound in the background of the phone calls. It's his robot. Someone has to be controlling the robot. And Dr. Rapugno was the only one who had that shrink ray. Nope. No way. I don't think he would do it, I answered. He's a good man. He's not a villain. Look, someone has to be controlling it, unless it's controlling itself. So it is artificial intelligence, I asked. A giant metal object with a handle on the side that can shoot ice out from the dispenser? She let out a laugh. I know exactly what it is. It's not just a robot. It's alive. I think it's I think it's a refrigerator, a living, breathing, walking refrigerator. That's why it's so cold when it gets near us. Really? I shook my head. You think a giant refrigerator is attacking our city? You know that ooze that brought you to life? She asked. I nodded. I think someone applied it to a refrigerator. And I think that someone is your dad. She furrowed her eyebrows. But why now? Why wait over a decade? And how did he expand it to be so huge? He must have used a reverse shrink ray. That's genius. Then it hit me. It's not just any refrigerator. It's my dad's old fridge. Look, when he spilled the ooze on a slice of pizza, he cleaned it up and he put me inside the refrigerator, cleaned up the mess and threw out the towel. And then when he went to get his slice of pizza, it was alive. I mean, it was me. Weird, I know, but that's how it happened. So you're telling me the fridge came to life? She asked. Exactly. I know for a fact that the refrigerator was gone later that day. My dad thought that someone stole it, but what if that's not what happened? What if nobody took it at all? What if it just ran away on its own? Iris snapped her finger. That would explain its size. It's had 11 years to grow. Wait a second. How did you know I was 11 years old? I asked. I thought maybe we were the same age, she said. It was a good guess, right? I mean, I am a detective. Something about her answer left me feeling uneasy. I couldn't figure it out. It was the same way I had felt when she knew that my dad was Dr. Repugno or when she called my house a lair. So the steam is actually fog from the freezer, she said, and fog comes out of its mouth? I still don't get the grocery list, though, she said. You don't get that? That list was part of the original refrigerator, and now it's become the refrigerator's mission. I think it's going to try to recover all the things missing inside of it. And one of those things is some kind of a jar? Maybe a jar of hot sauce, a jar of mayonnaise, she asked. Do you think one of those things is me? I asked her. Ooh. I think so, she answered. I pulled out my phone and called 911. What's your emergency? It's my refrigerator. Your refrigerator? Yeah, well, it's running. Then you better go catch it. I've heard that before, the woman said. Listen, prank calls are to the emergency line is a class one misdemeanor. You cannot be doing that. But I'm serious. My refrigerator is running. You're calling me to tell me that your refrigerator is running? Yes. Is your toaster running? I don't think so. It's just my refrigerator. Well, not mine. It's actually my dad's refrigerator, or I guess it was until he had to get a new one. That's not an emergency, she said. But this is different. It's spitting out ice and, oh yeah, it has really cold air. That's normal for a refrigerator, she said sarcastically. I bet you're gonna tell me that it has a door. A huge one, I answered. But we've seen this refrigerator all over town, and sir, you are not the only one in the town that owns that brand of refrigerator. Of course you're gonna see it all around town. It's probably in plenty of different homes. But this fridge is attacking our town. Look, we have a real emergency in our city right now. I don't have time to deal with a prank call from a little boy. I'm not a boy, I'm a pizza, I answered. A pizza! Yes, I'm a pizza and my former refrigerator came to life and it's attacking the city. Okay, I'm gonna have to let you go. She hung up. I sat there holding the phone, shocked that the police wouldn't even listen to me. No luck? Iris asked. She didn't believe me. Well, I think this is a job for the Justice League, she said. Really, the Justice League? No, the Just Us League. It's called that because it's just us. We'll have to handle this on our own. I don't think this is a good idea, I told her, but it was too late. Iris darted down the sidewalk, over the broken glass of a beat-up building, and over to a trap door. I followed her underground through a series of tunnels and finally all the way back to her office. "What's the plan?" I asked. She looked me in the eyes. "You're going to have to stop this bionic fridge by yourself as the incredible pizza." Or no. Pizza Supreme. I like that. "We'll make a mask and maybe, a cape that looks like a napkin." "I told you, I'm not a superhero." "Of course you're not. Superhero is trademarked by Marvel and DC. You can't call yourself that unless you're referencing the trademark itself, which I'm doing in this sentence and therefore the last sentence that you just spoke. But trust me, I know a thing or two about trademark law and you cannot call yourself a superhero." "Got it. But I'm not a hero," I said. "You are now," she answered. "Aren't there other heroes who can stop him?" "Yeah, there are, but you are the hero our town needs." "Really?" "That's not entirely true. You are actually the only hero currently available. I'd say you're the second choice, but you're probably the 9th or 10th choice." She pulled out this electronic device, and it was thinner than a sheet of paper. And she tapped on the screen, and a hologram popped up with a list of available heroes. Sure enough, there was a 9th slot with my picture on it. It wasn't a great picture. Honestly, it made my crust look a little bit fat, but it was me. "Where'd you get that?" I asked. "I don't actually work as a detective." "Well, I do, but I don't. See, I'm a detective for the Federation of Super Sciences. It used to be the Association of Super Sciences, but you can imagine what happened when they put that acronym up on a building." "And you're looking for heroes?" I asked.
Not exactly. I gather intelligence about villains. I hide in the shadows, and nobody suspects anything from an 11-year-old girl.
So you are tracking the robot?
Exactly. And if we can find the robot, I think we can find your dad.